The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 4th chapter. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, Matthew tells us. Quite the contrast from the preceding event. There Jesus was in the River Jordan to be baptized by John. When Jesus came up from the water, he heard the most certain and beautiful sermon ever preached. "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased," the Father proclaimed. Now the same Spirit that descended on Jesus like a dove threw him into the wilderness to be tempted. What is the wilderness? Many things, to be sure, both rural and urban. But theologically, the chief characteristic of wilderness is the absence of God's certain word of gospel promise. Note that I said certain promise. God is most certainly encountered in creation. But one can never be certain that God encountered there is for one or against one. Just ask those backcountry skiers admiring God's creation at Lake Tahoe. There was no gospel promise preached when that beautiful white avalanche God created covered them. And when there is no gospel promise preached, who do you suppose fills the vacuum? If you said the devil, you are exactly correct. And with what does the devil fill the vacuum? If you said temptation, then you got that one right too. And what is the devil's temptation? If you said the little word "if" used against God's gospel promise, then you are a theological superstar. Indeed, the devil is like a one-trick pony, and that trick is trying to make God a liar. The devil's trick is to create doubt that God can or will keep his promise. And it is a good trick, to be sure. If God is not almighty and God is a liar, then all is lost. We're done. And such a nightmare would mean that God either is unable to keep his word, unwilling to keep his word, or both. And all are equally disastrous. So the devil comes at Jesus with that one trick. "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread," Jesus heard. It's as if the devil were saying, "You're famished. So apparently your so-called father can't be trusted to even feed you, much less do anything else for you. Why don't you make yourself a sub sandwich out of those rocks and get busy looking out for yourself? After all, God helps those who help themselves, right?" Then Satan led Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple. "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Said another way, are you really going to trust in only a promise from God? That seems kind of risky, especially given your presence out here in the wilderness where you aren't hearing any promises from God. Probably best to put that promise to the test, don't you think? You know, give you a sign. Make God show you how much he loves the so-called beloved. And then, after showing Jesus the kingdoms of the world, which Paul tells us really do belong to Satan, by the way, came round three. All these I will give you, if you will fall down and worship me, the devil offered. Said another way, what is the Son of God with no kingdom? Results, not promises, are what matter. So why don't you worship the one who will actually give you what you need? It's your choice, you know. But in the face of all of these, Jesus experiences, in that silence out there in the wilderness, in the face of all the common sense, proactive suggestions of the devil, Jesus clung like a wild man to the promise given him in his baptism. Such clinging to the word of the gospel promise is called faith or trust, and it is the only thing that defeats the evil one. How do we cling to the word of the gospel? If you said we don't, then you got another question right. The gospel clings to us because it is God's historical, tangible, verifiable word to us that is undeniable. We cannot deny our baptism. We cannot deny the Lord's Supper. And in both, God undeniably promises mercy, forgiveness, and eternal life. And because God is both able and willing to keep his word to us, apart from anything that we do or fail to do, the devil's if fails every time. Matthew concludes this passage with these words, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. What is an angel? If you said a preacher, then you got that right too. Some have wings, some have goatees. Both bring this word. Mercy and forgiveness from God the Father are yours unconditionally for Christ's sake. You are beloved by God, and in you he is well pleased, and all because of the Christ who is for you. Amen.